keeps me up to walk on stormy seas. When thou art on the mountain, you raise me up to more than I can be. Amen. Thank you, amen. Thank you, brothers. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here in your house this morning. Lord, we ask for your guidance through the scriptures. I ask, God, that you'll bless your word. I ask you'll bless the ears that shall hear and the lips that shall speak. And we ask that you would get all the glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. If you turn from your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 21, verse 11 and 12, I want to continue on speaking on watchmen, what of the night. This would be part three. Verse 11, the burden of Duma, he calls unto me out of Seir, watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night? The watchman saith, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. If you return with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you. It means be those that have the overseer, the leaders of the church, and submit yourselves. It means to yield to their admonition. For they watch for your souls, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Amen. You may be seated. In the message of God keeps his word, Brother Branham says, the Bible says, watchmen, what of the night? And if the watchman sees the enemy coming and fails to warn the people, God said he would require their blood at the watchman's hands. But if the watchman warns them, then the watchman's free. So I must warn. Now, the inquiry there in Isaiah, when a watchman, what of the night? And he says, the night cometh, morning cometh. We know the darkest time of night is just before the coming of morning. And the light of the coming morning presses the darkness together. And he says, the night cometh, but the day cometh also. Brother Ham says, we live in a great oppressing time. When there are churches that say, join us, this church says, join us, this one says, join us, this denomination says, join us, we're the ones, this one says, join us, we're the ones. And they have their answer in joining a church. But you can join all the churches you want to, and that won't save you. There's only one thing that'll save you, and that's accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not in joining a church, but we're at the breaking of the day. We're at the time when the day of break. God also likened his prophets to eagles. In St. John, we see things that were wrote in St. John that are not written in the other gospels. It was something that John, that prophet, that eagle caught and saw that the other writers didn't see. And we know that an eagle can climb higher than any other bird, can see further off. And Brother Branham likened them to watchmen of the ages. That there were messengers sent to each age, and each of them were watchmen for that time, for that age. And the eagle climbs higher so he can see further. And he can see things not only that's in that spiritual realm, but he's got a spiritual eye. That he can see things that are going to take place in the future. And he'll say them, just like in the scriptures you'll find where the prophets sometimes would say something like as if it was happening right then, but yet it was something that was going to happen on in the future. When Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son," there wasn't very many people that understood that at the time, but Isaiah said it like as if it was going to take place immediately. But it didn't take place for years. But it's because the prophet can see with that spiritual eye and see further off. Jesus, in his prophetic days, the day is even a greater day than that day. Jesus spoke more of his second coming when he was in the shadow of the cross than he did of his going away. And he spoke and prophesied of things that would happen and take place in this day. He spoke and said there would be wars and rumors of wars. He said there'd be earthquakes in divers places. And we've saw storms and earthquakes and tsunamis and all these great dreadful things that are taking place. We're at the very darkest hour, but the day's dawning, which would be the coming of the Lord. Now, for this dark time, there's no nation that has an answer for it. United States doesn't have an answer for this dark time. Europe doesn't have an answer. Russia doesn't have the answer. There's only one person that has the answer, and that's the watchman for this end time age. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. And I want to look at some comings of some watchmen. But more specifically, I want to this morning look at the five comings of Elijah. Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, and his brother, and bringeth them unto a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Now, Elias is, you know, the Greek way of saying Elijah. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, and be not afraid." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" And Jesus answered them and said unto them, "Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now, when Jesus says this, he's talking about actually two different comings of the spirit of Elijah. And the first one he speaks of, he says that when he comes, he'll restore all things. That did not take place in the days of John the Baptist. Then when he speaks and says, behold, I say unto you, the Elias has come already. Now he speaks of John the Baptist. Now we know the first two comings of the spirit of Elijah was one, Elijah himself. And then Elisha said unto him that he wanted a double portion of his spirit. And he said, if you see me when I'm taken up, then you shall receive what you ask for. And as Elisha beheld, and behold, chariots of fire and horses came down to pick up Elijah. And Elijah threw back his mantle. And Elisha picked it up. And then we see Elisha go forth in the spirit of Elijah and prophesying and doing miracles the same way that Elijah did. You know that, this is a little bit of maybe trivia for you, that Elisha, in his days of living, fell one miracle short of completing double the amount of miracles of Elijah. But then there was that time when that dead man was thrown in on Elisha's bones, and he came back to life, making it double the amount of miracles that Elijah had performed. John speaks here. Look with me, if you would, into Luke chapter 3. Let's go back to chapter 3. Look at verse 16. John went into the wilderness. He didn't go and go to some seminary to learn, but he went into the wilderness and he received his revelation from God. And as he was receiving the revelation of God, from God, of the prophet's writings, John then begins to look and he begins to recognize that he has to forerun the coming of the Messiah. And he looks and he sees that it be in the spirit of Elijah. But there is a separating of this description of what will take place when that spirit of Elijah comes. And John wasn't, he knew this was the coming Messiah, but John was a little off on which coming it was. Luke chapter 3, verse 16. John answered and said to them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. So John was looking at this as being the great and terrible day of the Lord, the great coming of the day of the Lord. And it wasn't. These things were not what was to take place in John's forerunning. Now, I know that these things are all familiar to you, you older ones, but to the younger ones, I felt to go into this that you should know this is what we believe. And you'll be able to find it and see it in the scriptures, not just hearing us say something, but actually seeing it in the scripture. Turn with me to Malachi 4. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 says, for behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day cometh, shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, John looked at this and thought, this is what's going to take place now. But that did not take place after John's forerunning. This was not what the Messiah came for. There were many that looked for the Messiah's coming to be one that would deliver them from Roman rule. And that's not what he came for. He did not come to set up his kingdom on the earth yet. And it says, turn back with me to Malachi chapter 3. Here is where it actually speaks of the spirit of Elias coming, or John's coming. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So this is actually the scripture that was speaking of, this is what's going to take place when John comes. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 1. We're going to watch these things begin to take place in John's coming, or it would be under the spirit of Elijah. It would be the third coming of the spirit of Elijah. In Mark chapter 1, verse 2, as is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now, this was what we just read in Malachi chapter 3 and 1. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This is what John did. John fulfilled this part. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair and girdled with a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. And preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latch of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now this reading what part John fulfilled. Now turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto them and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That is he whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. John saying, he's the reason I've come. Now, you know that John and Jesus were cousins. And as a person or as a cousin, John knew him. But John said, the reason he said he didn't know him is he was saying, he didn't know this is the one he was forerunning. But he said, he was before me. In other words, the one that's in him is God. He was before me. And John bare record, verse 32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descend and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. So this one that has been revealing to John that he was forerunning the Messiah told him how to recognize the Messiah. He said, upon the one you've seen the Spirit descending and resting, he's the one that will come and baptize with the Holy Ghost. So John knew how he would recognize the Messiah. And again, the next day John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him, and they followed Jesus. And there's something how John the Baptist sees him and says, behold the Lamb of God. Then in the book of Revelations, John the Revelator looks and sees no one's worthy to take the book and open the book. And then he begins to weep, and then a voice speaks and says, weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And John turns and looks, and he sees a lamb. So here John the Baptist testified, said, this is the Lamb of God. John the Revelator sees him as a lamb in Revelations, a sacrifice. And John said, he cometh to take away the sins of the world. That's what John the Baptist said. Turn with me, if you would, back to Malachi chapter 4. In verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So now it's talking about the coming of Elijah here. And it's speaking about his coming. And in verse 6 it says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. In the Laodicean church age, in the Revelation of Jesus Christ series, Brother Branham reading this, he says, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. See, now when John came as Elijah, he turned the hearts of the Israelites to the children that was accepting his message. The hearts of the fathers to the children. So these Israelites, or these Jews that were practicing the law, he was turning their hearts toward the young ones that were accepting John's message, that there was coming a Messiah, and that this was not only was he coming, but this was the days of his coming. And he's going to take the hearts of the old callous Orthodox priests and turn their hearts to the faith that the children had here. See? Now all these that's been baptized and are waiting for the coming Messiah, who has warned, he says, who has warned you, the generation of vipers, to flee the wrath to come? See, he was turning the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now he goes on and he says, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Now, when this great Elijah comes in the end of the age. Now this is speaking of, verse 6 is speaking of two comings of Elijah. One is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children that are accepting this message. Then there's a coming of Elijah to take and turn the hearts of the children back to the original faith of their Pentecostal fathers. And I'm not talking about Pentecostal organization. I'm talking about on the day of Pentecost. Now, when this great Elijah comes in this end age, he'll take the message of Pentecost to turn the children to the faith of the fathers, because he'll be rebuking them because they didn't keep the same faith that was back there at the beginning. And we believe and realize it's going to be Elijah. Now, that coming of Elijah took place in our day, that we have received a prophet. And there was a time when Brother Branham was baptizing out on the river, and the light came and descended over him while he was baptized on the river, and spoke and says, "As John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall your message forerun my second coming." So as John's message warned the people as a watchman, seen and warned the people, this is the coming of the Messiah, so shall there be another message, it said, that will warn the people of the coming of the Lord. And we've received that warning that the coming of the Lord is drawing near. And Brother Branham, when he was here, he prophesied of things like as if they were taking place in his day, and yet they didn't take place to years and years later on. Brother Branham says in one place, said there used to be they'd play a prank on teachers or something. He says, but now he says they'll shoot them. There wasn't no school shootings back then, but there's been one school shooting after another that's taken place since in our time. Then he spoke about, he said, I see them walking across the playground with their pants hanging down below their waist. That wasn't happening then, but it has happened. He spoke so much more of the coming of time than he did of the time he was actually living in. A watchman, an eagle that flew up so high, he could see into the future. And he told us what this world would become. He spoke of motherhood and how motherhood being the backbone of the nation. And yet he said that the backbone's been broke. It wasn't so much then, but it is now. Watchman, what of the night? Brother Branham says, the Holy Spirit is the watchman who's making ready the people and giving warnings from God. He's been set as a watchman. We see the sick being healed, the blind eyes coming open, deaf ears unstopped, crippled walking, lame leaping like the hart, fulfilling what is it? It's the coming of the Lord pressing on. Those things happened. People that had no eyes in their eye sockets received eyes. It always strikes me when Brother Branham asked the one little girl, she didn't have any eyes, and he said God was going to give her eyes. And when she went to walk away, he said, wait a minute, I forgot to ask you what color you wanted. And God put eyes where there was no eyes. Creator, and he done it in this day. All these things and these warnings, and the people continually pressing right on through. People are doing that today. I wonder if under my voice, if there's people that are pressing right on through the warnings we're hearing across this pulpit and pressing right on the head. And Brother Bam says, pressing right on through to their beer parties and to their times of folly and frolic, and they eat and they drink and they marry and are given in marriage just as God said it would be. Now, And he said, no way of stopping them. Now, if you notice, this great church age, according to Revelation 3, at this age now, was the one who was given the morning star just before the coming. Watch how scriptural Isaiah was when he said, watchmen, what of the night? The morning cometh and the night also. The morning cometh, but the night comes before the morning. What is it? Anyone here knows the break of day is just the hours approaching of day is darker than it ever was. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 17. We'll see the scripture that he's referring to here. Because this is the things that's to be taking place during the fourth visit of the Spirit of Elijah. Verse 26, Luke 17, 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, it didn't say when the Son of Man comes or when the Son of God comes. It says when he is revealed. And what took place during the time of Lot? Because he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so it'll be. So what took place in the days of Lot? While there was two angels who went down to Sodom to get Lot, there was one that stayed back with Abraham. And the one that stayed back with Abraham that met him there in the plains of Mamre stood with his back to the door of the tent and told the thoughts and intents of Sarah's heart. Now we saw the prophet in this day take and turn his back to the audience and tell people's names and where they're from and the thoughts and intents of their heart, turn back around and say, is this not the same one that stood with Abraham? Revealing him. Then the scripture said, remember Lot's wife. Boy, there's a small verse that has a great meaning. Remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? Lot's wife, her heart was so held to Sodom that they were told by the angels, don't even look back. But she turned and looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. We're at a time now, friends, where there should be no looking back to the world. Should be no looking back to these things. But we should be looking ahead, looking forward. That's why it says, remember Lot's wife. Watchman, what of the night? He says, my friends, listen to this. Listen to thus saith the Lord. If you consider me to be his servant, it's just before the break of day. That's why this horrible gloom was over the earth. It's just before the coming of the Lord. There's no more hope left in nothing but his coming. Nations are against nations. They fooled through God's laboratory till they got power to blow one another into atomic ashes. They're wicked. They're unreligious. They're unchristlike. The only motive they have and objective is to destroy. And they're inspired by the destroying angel that was sent forth from heaven to inspire these men. And let me say this in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit has sent as a watchman over the tower. And as the people cry, what of the night? Are you weary of this life? Are you weary of sin? Are you weary of funeral possessions and sickness and ungodliness on every hand? Has the night been so long and weary? What of the night, watchman? He said, the morning cometh. See the comfort? That's a comfort to the believer. The morning cometh. Turn with me to Revelation 10, verse 7. Now this, you're speaking about the fourth coming of Elijah. About the coming of the seventh angel messenger for the seventh age, which we know is the age in which we live in. This world is in a Laodicean state. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Now, let me just go back. When Jesus was speaking to the disciples when they were on the mount, and they said, why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he says, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. John the Baptist did not do that. But in the coming of the seventh angel messenger, it said that the mystery of God should be finished. All things have been restored. The faith has been restored. Right doctrine has been restored. Right baptism has been restored. What the baptism of the Holy Ghost actually is, the understanding of it, has been restored. We're back to the beginning. Brother Branham said, I preach what Paul preached. So the first angel messenger, we see Christ, the Alpha. Then we see the last angel messenger, Omega, the beginning and the end. And the end is just like the beginning. Full revelation. Now, just for a bonus for this service, I told you there was five comings of Elijah. We'll look at the fifth coming. I was mainly wanting to focus on the fourth coming because that's the one for our day. But you turned me to Revelation chapter 11. Verse 3. And he says, now this is talking about the time that will take place, this taking place in Israel. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks which stand before the God on the earth. If any man shall hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth to devour their enemies. If any man shall hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have the power to shut the heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Now there was one in the Bible that shut up the heavens and said, it'll rain not till I call for it, and that was Elijah. And have power over the waters to turn them into blood and smite the earth with all the plagues as often as they will. And there was only one in the Bible that would turn the waters to blood and had the power to call plagues down, and that was Moses. So that's the two witnesses that will come to Israel. And this will take place after the rapture has taken place, during the 3.5 years that we are at the marriage supper of the Lamb as the bride of Jesus Christ. These two witnesses step forth on the earth, Elijah and Moses, and it's the fifth coming of Elijah. And during the prophecy, Elijah will say, there'll be no rain. And then Moses will call forth plagues. The Bible goes on to say that after this time, that there'll be those that will kill the two witnesses. And they'll forbid them to bury them, and their bodies will lay in the streets. And they'll party and exchange gifts because they're happy that these two who has tormented them are dead. Then there's one that comes and reveals himself to 144,000 Jews. And they'll ask him, where did you get those nail prints in your hands? And he'll say, in the house of my friends. And Jesus Christ will be revealed to that 144,000 as the Messiah that had came. They'll be saved in that they'll receive him. I wanted you young ones to know, why do we say Brother Branham's the prophet? Because the scripture speaks of that coming. And he lays it out in more than one place, which I have went through these places with you. Through these scriptures. The ones that you may see posted on a flyer somewhere about the message, or posted on a sign somewhere, a church's sign or something. And I went through those scriptures today to show you this wasn't just a man, but it was a prophet that was sent in this last age. And I'll tell you, when you go and you go to testify and tell others, oh, there's a prophet sent in our age, you know what they'll say? You must be in a cult. But we're not in a cult. We just believe the word, what the word spoke. And we believe that God still does baptize people with the Holy Ghost today. We believe that the Holy Ghost can come and abide in an individual, as the Bible says, be sealed by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just for the days of the apostles, but it's for our day as well. We don't believe in church joining. We believe in accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Let's stand. I know this was kind of short, quick this morning, but I had a specific thing I wanted to go through and get across, and felt this so pressed upon me yesterday. And I say now that you young ones, you know, because I've showed it to you in the scripture. As your watchman, I've warned you. Now your blood's not on my hands. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I thought Nate was already up here behind me. Amen.